Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Michael Worster, guest host of Prosody. My guest tonight is the poet Leonard Gontarek. Leonard Gontarek has been a cab driver, movie projectionist, teacher, and bookseller. He coordinates Peace Works, Poets and Writers for Peace. His books include St. Genevieve Watching Over Paris, a chapbook, Van Morrison Can't Find His Feet, and Zen for Beginners, also a chapbook. His poems have appeared in American Poetry Review, Exquisite Corpse, Fence, Field, and the Best American Poetry 2005. He received poetry fellowships from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts in 1994 and 2004. Leonard lives in Philadelphia. His new book, Deja Vu Diner, was published this year by Autumn House Press. Leonard, welcome to Prosody.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Michael.
Good. Let's start off with a few poems.
Okay, this is a poem called Study White. As an example, the man is angry at autumn. As an example, the man is upset at the cat, buries herself in leaves and cries, carries them back to him like prey. As an example, a man sits at a desk in faded admiral clothes, medals obtained at yard sales, the voice of despair drowning in him. The man gets up, takes a bowl of milk like a small moon to the cat. As an example, the man's wife slept with another man. The man walks over snow crust, chewing down on a peppermint lifesaver. He wishes the man's bones would snap like that. The man rubs the belly of the cat hard, the way she likes. He can see his breath. And this is called Home. Home. You are crying for something in the past. Fair enough. Your mother is dead here. A praying mantis eats through a leaf. They've changed over the streetlights to the safer apricot-hazed ones. Bang your fist on my heart if you understand. Raunchy, whispering ghost, one streetlight on earth out. The maples and moving clouds go from silver to a shade of silver. Leaves rust, a car starts up. Some humans Xerox their hands. How mysterious the pictures. Your neighbor rakes the sidewalk, gentle strokes, long past autumn. Fair enough. And this is called Save Changes to God. The title is actually from a computer prompt. Save Changes to God. I take down the books on snow as I've done before, to better understand, to love the snow that has congregated on my roof, reeking of tar and eucalyptus and stars, the blankness of handkerchiefs folded to steeples and suit pockets. And I do better understand, as I better understand the angels and tulips and streets and solitariness and longing for human companionship. Look at the snow, it feathers the dark, and mysteries, the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Leonard, of course, one of the qualities or things that we're concerned about with poetry is the whole idea of place. And when I read your book before I met you, I said, this is a Philadelphia poet. It had that tone that certain products of Philadelphia do. I'm thinking of the movie Birdie, if you've seen that. But it turns out you're not actually originally from Philadelphia. Can you give us a little bit of a geographical background?
Sure. And actually, I was born in Philadelphia, but spent a good part of my life in New England, in Vermont. And then over 12 years ago, I returned to Philadelphia. So I'm kind of like an Oreo cookie here of Philadelphia on the outside and Vermont in the middle.
Uh-huh. Now, another thing about your poetry, of course, we're all individual, so when I compare you to Frank O'Hara, in one sense, I don't mean you're like Frank O'Hara, but in another sense, you are, because in reading your work, I see the poet traveling through his world. It's an urban world. He's outdoors. He's experiencing the city. He's listing things. He's choosing things to put in his poems that will communicate to us. How do you feel about that? Do you think about Frank O'Hara? Have you ever thought about those similarities?
Well, I do love Frank O'Hara's poetry. I probably, don't read it as much as some other poets, but I think I know what you're talking about. There is a kind of a freshness and an openness in his voice, and I think it is attractive to me, and I think it's a way to get the poetry flowing, that kind of walking around, doing your business of poetry.
I wonder if you'd read the poem for us, Blue on Her Hands.
Okay, I'll be happy.
One of the reasons I'm asking is because I think this poem sort of exemplifies what I'm talking about, the poet outdoors in the urban environment.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. This is Blue on Her Hands. Most of the block is up, the laundromat's lit, a man in a suit walking a dog, Aikido students in light rain, automatic metal storefront folding, the flower seller attending her bundles, blue stain on her hands, glass faces buying time, coffee. Imagine striped tulips loosening in dark underground. Nothing is final. When the train comes, get on board. It seems simple on a night like this, the end of a mild winter day, the chill wind now, flapping whatever is loose in the dark. To understand how a boy from childhood wanted to mimic the rockets that shot off fireworks and build a homemade one that blew off three of his fingers. He is reminded of it every day. You think of it only from time to time. You can understand everything fully if that is your desire, especially on a night like this when everything is turning. Everything comes from the taupe water, from the tongue, knowledge, love. I wanted to learn every part of you for a long time. Now next to you, there are white particles, tiny, adrift, in the dark. The doctor questioned you about the dream. At least you thought she was a doctor. She had a clipboard. She clicked a string of pearls that rested on her sweater and breasts. How beautiful the afternoon dissolving into dusk outside the 20th story. How could you tell her all you could remember was a snapshot pinned to the wall that played no important part in the dream of a nude hand covering her sex, one of her fingers missing or plunged into the mystery, a pigeon feather loose on the quilt? You substituted a dream your son told you, how you and your best friend were locked up by the police, how he and his mother trailed the police car, how you and your best friend could not see the show. He and his mother trailed the police car in hopes of freeing you. Your son furrowed his brow as he told you the dream with more worry than a four-year-old deserves. Interesting, the doctor says. She wears dark stockings you believe must smell like anise and earth. Half of what we eat grows in sun, half rustles in loose, dark soil. Interesting.
I love that transition into the business with the doctor and then where the poem goes from that point. Now, you've been in town doing some readings here in Pittsburgh. I was at two of the three readings. Now, that poem was the poem that was selected for Best American Poems 2005, and I noticed you didn't read it. Maybe you read it at the reading I missed, but I was just curious why you didn't read that poem. Are you sick of it because it's been so successful?
Well, I did read it at the afternoon reading, and it's not a big enough hit yet that I'm sick of it.
I see. Yeah, okay.
It just happens that I read it earlier.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Michael Werster, guest host, and my guest tonight is the poet Leonard Gontarik, reading from his new book, Deja Vu Diner. Leonard, let's hear a few more poems.
Okay. This is a poem called Late. Mercifully, there was very little winter left. The window frame rotted like crabapple. I caught the slipped-down glass. Plastic rustled in its place when wind came in. We do expect the children to be quiet. There is such a thing as too much quiet. God was gunned down on this corner. There is such a thing as landscapes before spring and early spring. The blast lifted him from his feet, toppled in a shape now outlined in chalk. We expect the stranger to be on the plane. Melancholy moon. We expect his arrival to be announced. We expect the plane to go down. We would gladly exchange places with any one of the passengers. We are confident the choice is out of our hands. Study sidewalk. Waiting for the bus, five holes are drilled in the body so the soul leaks out, indistinguishable from other substance drying on the sidewalk. The drill was brought from the hardware store across the street, I think. We don't look at each other. We are afraid of falling. A plane scratches the atmosphere. We don't look up. The skywrite is never in a language we recognize. We would rather be lost in dream where the hallways are lacquered black, looking for an office, each door bearing the same name. Take out wallet. Look at girl we were seeing in high school. The coins are becoming heavier. What's that scent? What's the name of that insect? Who's dying of boredom, dying to be on time? We begin to hate motion more than the ordinary whirring of stillness. Maybe there's time to climb the monkey bars. The arresting officer is a woman. She has other ideas for the handcuffs. Why else would she wear so much perfume? And this poem is called The Book. Wasn't there a myth about someone becoming a tree? Wasn't it a man and a woman becoming one tree, a house surrounded by trees, cooler within? You could be anywhere on a bus and think about kissing a woman's foot, that woman as God kisses you. Zen Buddhism is laundry you drop off and leave over 30 days if you have a brave heart. Not all at once, slowly, over time, suffering the panicky eyes of the one who runs the place, feigning a language barrier. Cleanse and release, trees shake. We see the color later as a fabric, reread poem. All we bring is luggage and language, sepia and garish. We see later in the object. Humans have nothing in common with flowers, zero, nothing. We can talk of wings and scars of wings, but the final stage of landing is on the knees. We cannot drink the night, yet we know it is cool and exotic, and we can never get our fill. All that is light falls, all that is not light falls too. The windows are blue or black, on fire as we leave the earth. What the soul believes, it converts. Beauty is at once a man turning the pages of a book in a meadow, one visiting, blending into another.
Leonard, I wonder if you'd read the poem Hairbrush.
Okay, I will do that. And I'm happy that you asked for that poem.
It's page 69.
Thank you. Hairbrush. Things are left on beaches, a kid's shovel, a red paperback, necklace, the bottom of a bikini, tape player, change. Things are left on dressers, change, an earring, spoon, note scrawled on a receipt, a hairbrush. I remember each hairbrush I've owned. I remember each I've given as a gift, which is not many. I gave a brush to my mother in a dream. She said she already had one. She did not seem in a good mood to begin with. She had perhaps a hangover. See how dreams are freighted with sorrow and useless worries. She had beautiful hair, and I wanted to give her a brush. I leave it on this beach.
That's another wonderful example where you start with one of those great lists, and then the poem turns into a very lyrical narrative. Now, occasionally in your work, or more than occasionally, which is why I'm remarking on it, you refer to dreams. And the poems, when there is not a dream, there's a gentle surrealistic quality to your poetry, which, of course, is dreamlike. Now, when you refer to a dream, did you actually have the dream, or is that a rhetorical device?
In this particular poem?
Or in general, this poem and in general.
I would say half the times it's an actual dream. In Blue on Her Hands, the dream about my son and being trailing a police car that I was in, with a little tweaking, that was an actual dream. This hairbrushed dream is a kind of a variation on a sense of a dream, but it wasn't. This wasn't an actual dream.
A hairbrush is a wonderful thing to have in a poem because we don't use them that often, but a hairbrush is such an intimate thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful object to use. Let's hear a few more.
Okay. This is called As Long As They Can, and actually the title, Deja Vu Tyner, comes from this poem. As long as they can. Though it is a beautiful day, the umbrella stand at the forget-me-not is filled. The deja vu diner is closed for good. Have I mentioned this? When the stars lie down on the cool black water, we are waiting for it. In our age, we see only the light, not the shape of stars. We call this absence of self. When we describe this to the children, they say they long to see the world in this way. In secret, they are putting it off as long as they can. And this is a poem called Blossoms. I pointed out the light to my son, the way it lay on the branches, off color of peach this morning in the sumac. He did take a moment to look, but he is too. He probably thinks I'm a crazy man in a bathrobe. He just wants juice. Driven men wired with explosives are placing themselves near children and women leading simple civil lives. Flashes and blossoms of smoke rise from the map, and we are watching cartoons with the sound down and classical music in the background. As Bugs Bunny does some fast talking, I return to last night, my dead mother pointing to some place in the room asking, whose fault is this? I drifted in and out of sleep, as I do now. I wish I knew what she meant. There has been so much death close to us recently, death inching down the trunk of the tree like shadows dropping in the grass, while the first shoots are forced out into the air, which is crisp, poisonous, unnaturally blue, and maybe, by some accounts, a dream. And this poem is a love poem of sorts, and it's called Love Letter. May I not write any longer about the landscape, the gold and copper branches in the branches, the snow like peace or bread in the overlay of maples, and think only of you? May I stick to the point? Oh, look, someone's dunced the statue on the parkway with an orange danger cone. May I be able to distinguish the scent of your clothes, silk under things piled on the floor beside the bed from you? Oh, look, someone's broken into the Houdini locksmith shop. May I stick to the point? May I moan the name of a flower in my sleep, iris, violet, lily, and explain it is you I mean, soothing your jealous rage, a mixture of alcohol and alcohol. May I say I, you, love, I, love, I, you, as the faucet I never fixed drips into the cold infinities of the night. Blinka, blinka, blinka.
Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Michael Werster, guest host, and my guest tonight is the poet Leonard Gontarik, reading from his new book, Deja Vu Diner. Now, Leonard, I noticed that in addition to Deja Vu Diner, I see before you, and I mean this humorously, an ominous black notebook, which I believe contains some new work. Would you read a couple of the new poems for us? These are poems that have not yet been gathered in book form, but promise a brilliant future for themselves.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that, too. This is a poem called... Dirt Floor 2. In the trees, this balcony, the light in things, lime drink, the panes of sky cut through us, small souls, congregated gnats in my dream, my movie, fireflies I inhale, changes I have feared. When will I come back? When will I come to love it? I long for night plus lantern, beautiful enough to call this lantern, beautiful enough, lantern this, lantern that. Make my own with the shiniest one, abstract dusk throws a kind of shade deeper into the words on the faces of the passengers. No train, but look, how explain this jolting, this scent of humans brushing against them when it is not what is meant? I want these things as I understand, causing images to blend, erased edge, and I want these things. Death will clip our wings with pinking shears, moreover, a pleasure not unlike pepper and chocolate. Moreover, branches and leaves float, discordant, clouded light, outbreak of water. I fear dreams and memories in a junkyard. There was a woman who did not love me, whom I loved. I went down to the river, laying down my crown, waded in, must be drunk. The light is everything, amulet, scapula, snow globe of New York City. How could it not be about the wind and the tops of trees like sea, darkening sky? This last Saturday in September, the man mowing two stories below, the happiest man on earth for some reason, each curve he mows followed by a darker one. We are for the light. Death courses shiny blood like questions and commas. A small wheel from a toy in childhood. A compact your mother gave you. You remember that day, the weather. I opened the book yesterday. I believe a small page slid from it.
I think that's a fantastic poem. Of course, I remember you reading that last night at the reading at Chatham College. How is your work changing? There's a couple thoughts that I have, but I'm interested in your opinion. How is your work changing now with the new stuff?
Well, I think that the work is getting longer, and that's either a good or a bad thing, depending. For me, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's more challenging for the reader. I think it's dealing with more serious subjects. I think that my poetry is kind of growing up in a way.
Okay. One of the things the readers or the listeners have missed is that Leonard is a poet of great wit and humor, and we haven't really hit that side of him too much in this show. So that's another reason for people to get the book, so they can not only enjoy the serious work, by which I mean non-comic, but so that they can enjoy the humor and get a little bit of a laugh. Let's hear a couple. I think we have time for a couple more poems from Deja Vu Diner.
Okay. This is called Study Ice. Dusk acetylenes the leaves and what comes after, the armies slain in their drunken sleep. Evening has come to the surrounding environs, ice blue glow of insect exterminator, television. The light wets down the night grass. I can remember to a time when the grass, when the train took you to a place of wildflowers, people going, coming from the platform. She lifted her dress. He unzipped his fly. She leaned over a chair, began singing Stardust. Ah, Thursdays, and then, ah, Fridays. The trees cracked in the dark. Privet pushed through restaurant exhaust. Birds, chips, dawn square, ostensibly light. A little snow, clumped lilies, a pretty view. No one around. Light soon. And this is a Study Crow. Once the weather hits 90, I go to the master wearing a paper crown. He knocks it off and beats it like a rat with a stick. What he means, I think, is we should not have anything that is not necessary. What he means is everything happens underground, duplicated by the gods. On telephone wire, crow, farmhouse huge as a hill. I must not become attached to objects of flame. Objects within objects, I must not make my home.
You've been listening to the poetry of Leonard Gontarek. Leonard, thank you so much for being here. I'm Michael Werster, guest host. You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Joseph Wilk and Lauren Wolf. Please tune in every Tuesday night at 7 for Prosody here on Independent Public Radio 91.3 WYEP. She had a smile that swerved. She had a smile that curved. She had a smile that swerved all over the world. It's all wrong.
I travel back in time, so the flips are switching. I collapse inside.